Turn to the 20th chapter of Matthew. Matthew, the 20th chapter in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1026, page 1026. I'll be reading responsibly the first 15 verses. 20th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 15, page 1026. And let's stand, as we always do, for the reading of God's Word. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour. Thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that is thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee, and the 15th together also. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good? And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We hardly realize what we hold in our hands here. Thank you for it. Thank you for this great church, our preacher, and blessed tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sir. Our emotions run wild in so many different directions. A beautiful song like we just heard. The choir admonished us to be like Jesus. We got to relive some happy experiences with the hands tonight. And over again, thou dost bless us in so many ways. But I'm conscious of the fact that here we are again, same place, same preacher, same people, basically, as meets here every week. We need your help tonight. Please help me. There's no way in the world I can be what all these several thousands of people need. I pray you'd help me to think of some little statement while I preach that'll be just the thing that somebody needs. And I pray that through the message you'd give me thoughts that'll run through my mind that'll be expressed through my lips. That'll be exactly what somebody else needs. I can't do it. Help me, please. Control my mind and bless this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you ever feel, and if you didn't, you're a very unusual person, that God has been unfair to you? Has something happened in your life? It has caused you to at least entertain the thought that God has not been as good to you as he has to others. You ever think you got a bad deal in some area of your life? I remember the first time I ever felt that way, and I felt that way since. It was the morning, May 12, 1950, when the call came that my alcoholic daddy was unsaved, had died. And I put the phone down, and I said, God, that's not right. You know I'm doing the best I can. I'm not much preacher, but I'm doing the best I can. And you know I'm sincere. I don't understand this. I tried to win my daddy to Jesus, and he told me last January the 1st that he'd get saved in the spring. That didn't seem right to me. I just don't understand it. And I'll be honest with you. I had a real battle. I had a battle for days. I thought God had given me a raw deal. I thought God had been unfair to me. Did you ever feel that way? Did you ever entertain the thought that God was unjust to you? Somebody else has and you don't. They don't live near as dedicated a life as you do. You're trying to serve God. You're sincere. All over this house tonight, there are people that wonder why certain things have happened to you. Why do you ride in a wheelchair while others walk? Second row over here is a little lady tonight. Has multiple sclerosis. Has three children to rear. She rears those children from a wheelchair. She hasn't walked in years. I mean, she's rearing those children, cleaning their house, cooking their meals, rearing those children from a wheelchair. You ever wonder, Robin, maybe God didn't give you a raw deal? You ever think maybe it's not fair for others to walk and you can't walk? Did you ever wonder? The prodigal son's brother did. Luke 15, he comes home, another hard day's work. It was not an unusual thing for him, for hard he worked every day in the field. You know all that entails, especially back in those days. Didn't have tractors and modern equipment in those days. Prodigal son's older brother comes in from the field. He hears festive music and sees happy dancing. He finds that this merriment is in honor of his brother. I'm sure that when he came in, I think maybe he may have thought it was for him. He was the brother who stayed home. Could this music be for the brother who left? He was the brother who had been faithful. Could this music and festive occasion be for the brother who had wasted the father's substance and riotous living? And certainly that's what happened. I imagine he said something like this. What's the guy got to do to get some attention around here? Backslide? Is that what it takes? Got to go out and take half your dad's money? And get drunk? Live it up? Backslide? Is that the way you get attention around here? It's not fair. But there's something he didn't realize. His father said to him, Son, all that I have is thine. Boy, I love that. All that I have is thine. He said what he was saying was, Son, I bought a pair of shoes, new shoes for your brother that came home from the far country, but all my shoes are yours. I bought a new suit of clothes for your brother that came home from the far country, but all my wardrobe is yours, son. I bought a new ring for your brother that came home from the far country, but son, all my jewelry box belongs to you. All that I have is thine. That isn't all. He said, son, I think you've had my presence through these days and months maybe that your brother's been gone. All that I have is thine. You know, don't fret too much about the fellow across the street that drives a Cadillac while you push off that old car again, 1966. Edsel. Don't get upset about that. I mean, all God has is yours. You're just waiting around till the lawyer has time to execute the will, that's all. All he has is yours. Don't envy him because he's got a $200,000 house. That $200,000 outhouse couldn't buy the toilet where you're going to live one of these days. Don't be upset about that. Don't be worried about it. All that I have is thine, he said. Not only that, don't worry about it. That fellow never gets to walk with God. He never gets to enter God's presence. He
never knows the riches of God's grace. Let him have his fun. Let him have his money. You just limp along and realize the wonderful presence of God himself is yours as his portion all the time. He didn't realize what he had. But I want to tell you something tonight, folks. Everything God owns is mine. I mean, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the gold and the silver in every mine. He owns the rivers, the rocks and rills, the moon and stars that shine. Wonderful riches more than tongue can tell. And he's my daddy, so they're mine as well. I'm just waiting till the will's drawn up. That's all, or executed. That's all. Don't be sorry for yourself. Don't be sorry because somebody else has a better chariot or has a better coat or has a better house. That's the only nice house they're going to have. You got a mansion been prepared for you. Don't fret about it. Do you ever feel that God's been unfair to you? Do you ever look at your little child limp while others run and say, "Doesn't seem fair to me"? Little children are well. Mom and dad, atheists, hate God, hate the Bible. Their children are well, and mine has a limp. Do you ever look at your wheelchair? Feel God was unfair as you watched other people walk? Do you ever watch hands speak to you while others can hear what the preacher says and hear what the choir says? Do you ever wonder why you can't hear? Do you ever sort of get upset with God and say, "That doesn't seem fair"? I've never heard an "I love you". I've never heard a choir special. I've never heard a bird sing in the morning. I've never heard an amen. I've never heard a sermon. I've never heard a solo. I live in a world of silence. But I love God, and I'm trying to serve Him, and I don't understand it why I can't hear. Others can. Do you ever feel that way? Of course you have. Do you ever limp through life while others jump and play? Do you ever look down and see a hook on the end of your arm? One of our men does. No hand, no fingers. And then hear that your little child, little baby is diseased and may never be normal. You look at that hook. You look at that little child in the bed like one of our dear families does. And you're trying to serve God. You love Him. You live on almost nothing, barely making ends meet. Do you ever look at your hook on your hand and the little baby there in the crib and look at your balance in your checkbook and say, "It's not fair. Not fair"? I mean, others have and we don't have. Others have two hands and I have one. Others have healthy children and we don't. Others have money to spare and we don't. And they don't serve God and they don't live for God and I don't understand it. Doesn't seem like God's fair. You ever look in a mirror and see a dwarfed body? Wonder if it's fair? You, few of you tonight in this room whose bodies are dwarfed, little legs are twisted, maybe and you're about 4 feet tall. Thinking of one of our little ladies now. Little shoulders are stooped and she's in her 30s or so and she's had so many operations. Do you ever look at people whose shoulders are straight and feel like God hasn't been good to you? Do you ever see godless people walk down the street and you wish you could be shaped like that or built like that? You wish you could have a strong body like that? Do you ever see anybody walk normally and wish you could take one step that was normal? And did you ever say, "I don't believe God's fair. I don't understand it. That's not right. It's not fair"? Did you ever see you came there while others run and play while you're a little boy and you can't do it? Did you ever go to a basketball game and you're an athlete yourself? You'd like to run and play like the other guys do. And yet there you sit tonight, symbol of the grace of God, a testimony to all of us. Did you ever wonder? Did you ever just say, I wonder if that's right? Dear God, I love you. But I don't understand this. Doesn't seem fair to me. I mean, Jim McMahon, look how he lives. He's an athlete, strong body, weak mind. Look how he lives. Look at the fridge. I'd rather be like you than the fridge. Did you ever look? I'm sure you have many times. You said, that doesn't seem fair to me. Did you ever take your child to the Sunbeam department for the retarded children? And then as you walk back the auditorium, you pass, or to your class, you pass by the primary department where the normal children are, realizing that your little girl will never graduate from school. She'll never have a commencement exercise. She'll never get married. She'll never be a mother. And if you live to be 70, she's 40, she'll still be at home. And it's a novelty to the rest of us. We look at some mean department and say, isn't that sweet, but not for you. You've got to go take her home at night. It's a way of life for you. Did you ever look at that little child, that little look on her face, and you've seen it? Wonder why she couldn't have been normal? Do you ever wonder why people are in nightclubs tonight whose children normal and your little child is afflicted and retarded? Do you ever carry your 5-year-old son in your arms realizing he'll never walk, never take a step? Realizing that when he's 10, you'll still be carrying him? And when he's 15, somebody's going to have to transport him. He'll never run to first base, never throw a pass, never shoot a field goal, never run and play. Do you ever look at him and look at his little muscular dystrophy and say, God, I don't understand that. I don't understand it. Ever go to a grave to visit your husband who died in his youth? You've had to be a mother and a father all these years to those children, and you've had to try to play ball with them. You've had to try to be a daddy as well as a mama. You ever go to the grave and look at all you've got to remember your husband by, a few pictures and a marker there on his grave, and memories flood your soul of dreams that you had together, and remember how you bought the first little house together and bought that first car and everything was going fine when all of a sudden your whole life was pulled out from under you? Did you ever kneel at the grave and say, God, I don't think that looks fair to me. I don't understand it. Doesn't seem fair. Did you ever look at your children and wonder where your husband is tonight? He ran off with somebody else. Left you without income? Do you ever look at ladies that don't live for God, that are housewives at home while you've got to get up and clean the house before daybreak, get the kids ready for school, get breakfast all ready, go to work yourself, work hard all day, come back home, your day's just begun, have to get some dinner ready, and then you have to wash after that, wash the dishes and wash the clothes and clean the house and get ready for tomorrow, and help the children with their homework, and you say, I don't understand it. I was a good wife, and I did the best I could to be a good wife, and I don't understand it. Other husbands, their whole mind's gone. Do you ever look up and say, doesn't seem fair to me? You ever think you got in a bad deal? Asaph did. Asaph In Psalm 73, watched the wicked prosper. He saw his own poverty and said, I don't understand it. He saw their unjust dealings. He saw them fat and prosperous. And Asaph said, I don't understand it. They have nice chariots to drive, and God's people have to walk or ride on a beast of burden. I understand it. They have gold and silver and big farms, and God's people have to work for the folks who are wealthy. I understand it. And Asaph went through a period in his life where he said, I don't understand. You know what I did? Asaph went down to the house of God and walked in the house of God and got to looking around, and he said, blessed be God, I got more than they've got. He looked around the house of God. He saw God's house. How I thank God tonight for God's house. How I thank God tonight for the New Testament church. I'm not talking about some invisible hodgepodge called a universal invisible church. I'm talking about the only church that Jesus ever started, the local, visible, New Testament churches, when he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I say, I wouldn't trade the joy of coming to an old-fashioned, God-fearing, Christ-honoring, soul-winning, hell-hating, sin-fighting church like this for all the money they got in the whole world. Let them have it. Let the football players have $250,000 a year. Just give me the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them drive their Rolls Royces and Mercedes Benz. Just give me a choir number on a Sunday night. So Asaph got to feeling sorry for himself, and he thought God was unfair, unjust, and unreal. And Asaph said, I don't understand it. And then he went down to the house of God. He saw God's people. Well, I know God's people aren't perfect. I know there are examples around the country that folks have shaken faith. But I'll guarantee you one thing, Buster. I'm a little tired of people talking about the ministry going bad. I mean, listen, for every one Jim Baker in the ministry, I can tell you 100 in the secular field. I mean, the fact that one guy like that lives like the rest of the world lives. I want to say a good word tonight for God's people. I want to say a good word tonight for God's family. I want to say a good word tonight for fundamental preachers. I want to say a good word tonight for the people of God. Blood-washed, born-again, blood-bought people. Not perfect, but the greatest folks in the whole world. Asaph saw the chariots that others had. He had none. He saw the houses of others had. He couldn't afford. He saw the garments others wore that he could not afford. Asaph got to feeling sorry for himself and God's people, and he said, that's not right. But there's something Asaph did not realize until he went to the house of God, and he said, give me God's house and give me God's people. He was the director of the choir in God's house. I mean that. Asaph was the choir director in God's house. I got an idea. He went to choir practice. Looked over the tenor section and said, bless God, I'd rather have those fellows than all the world's got to offer. Looked at the dear alto section and said, God bless those ladies, I'd rather have them anything the world's got to offer. Looked at the sopranos and said, thank God for them. Looked at the basses and said, well, nobody's perfect. You knew it was coming. I saw you grinning. I couldn't even look at you then. I mean, I had to look up away. I knew you saw it coming. Asaph said, take your tavern, take your entertainers, take your Johnny Carsons, take your Bill Cosbys, take the heathen singers, take the Prince, and take Madonna, and take the Beatles, and take the Rolling Stone. Just give me the old church choir. Went to church, and he saw God's house, and he saw God's people. He saw the choir that he led, and he saw God's fellowship. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there. Asaph, he said, I haven't got enough money to buy one minute with God. I haven't got enough money to buy one moment's peace. Let him live it up. Let him strike for more money. Let him say we want to retire at 25. Let him say, by the way, Chicago Bear football player tonight. If he's here, I'm just preaching. I looked at him this morning and saw him, and I changed my whole idea about the strike. I'm for that thing. Yeah. When he stood up this morning, I just never had it explained as thoroughly as he explained it when he stood up there. Asaph said, I looked and I got my eyes on the world and saw how much they had. And he said, I came to God's house and I saw his book. Let them have their Playboy magazine. I got a Play Saint magazine. Let them have their dirty TV shows. I've got the living, never dying Word of God. I've got a book that always was and always will be. I've got a book that God wrote and always was and always will be. And every word of this very book I hold in my hand is preserved for me. It's the very Word of God. And Asaph came inside the church house and he said, look, when I come in, and by the way, you stay around the church more, you'll complain a lot less about all you don't have. You turn that box off and come to church, you'll quit griping so much. I mean, I'll tell you something, folks. There's something in this room tonight that all the money of all rich folks out in that world can't afford. I mean, Hollywood can't afford it. They're trying to buy it, and they can't buy it. They're trying to find it, and they can't find it. But Asaph came to God's house and said, that's God's house, and that's God's music, and that's God's family. Those are God's people, and that's God's word. He said, take it all. Just let me have the things of God. Don't fret tonight. Don't fret. These rich folks will be shining your shoes during the millennium. It won't be long. Do you ever feel that God's been unfair to you? Do you ever look at families together and you're 45, still single? You had hopes of someday being a wife and a mother. Never worked out that way for you. Do you ever look at other children and realize you'll never have your own? Realize you'll never be called grandma? Realize that you'll never have a family reunion? See other ladies as they have their children and they come to visit them and you see a family like the Hands tonight here and realize that you'll never have that. You ever look up and say, God doesn't seem fair to me. I love you. I've tried to serve you. I've tried to give what I could to you. I'd like to go shopping for a little baby girl. I'd like to buy some booties. I'd like to buy a little ruffled dress. I'd like to take her to the first piano lesson. I'd like to go to the piano recital. Not me, Buster. That's one thing I don't want to do again. I wouldn't mind the little dresses again and the swings in the park, but fooey on those recitals. Some teacher came out and she said, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm always in the living room of a house and it's always hot. And she says, and now Miss Becky Jan Hiles will give a recital. Numbers by Bach and Beethoven and Mozart. Oh, brother. And you, it's your daughter. You got to look like you're proud. And so you sit there and you go, And she chops up Bach till Bach wishes he'd never taken up music. Mozart considers pressing charges. Mendelssohn turns over in his grave. You look at your watch and say, just another 2 hours and 15 minutes and I'll get to leave this place. But did you ever stop and realize that others will go to school activities and you won't go? Others will have sons that play on the basketball team or daughters that are cheerleaders and you won't. Thanksgiving time comes and you don't have a family to be with. Do you ever look up and say, God doesn't seem right to me? Did you ever complain to God because you have a baby whose body is in baby land, and others have babies that are still living? You have a little pair of bronze shoes up on the mantle, a picture beside the bronze shoes and memories in your heart, and you remember that first look
at her. And you remember holding up that little piece of paper, maternity ward, and they picked up yours and brought it to the window. Isn't that cute? No, ugly as all get out. Like a dried peach in a summer day. And you remember that first night she's home? And you remember the warming the bottle? And you remember the rocking her to sleep? And you remember singing? And the first word, of course, which is always da-da. And then the first step. And then there was a night when a cry came from her little bed. And you went and felt that brow that was burning up with fever. Every parent here knows what I'm talking about. And you tried to get that temperature down, and you took hot cold water and you first gave aspirins. That didn't work. Then you put cold water and rubbed that little body in cold water. And then you called the doctor, and the doctor said, try rubbing alcohol over the little body, and you tried to get the temperature down. It was still 105.5, and you didn't know what to do. And they rushed the little child to the hospital. And then next thing you knew, you were walking away from baby land. Did you ever look at that little pair of bronze shoes and think God's not fair? Huh? Did you ever look at that picture on the mantle and think God's not fair? Did your son ever get killed in a car wreck? He was just starting in Hiles Anderson College. And all of a sudden, the clash of steel. Sparks on the highway and blood. His body's taken. You come to the Spanish building over here during pastor school. They have his funeral service, and you walk by and look at the body of that boy that you'd helped to bring in the world, and you said, I don't understand it. That doesn't seem fair to me. Did you ever walk while others drive? Are you a Brother Fisk whose wife just got cancer and wilted away and went to heaven a few days ago? I talked to him just a few days ago. He said, Brother Hiles, I don't believe I can take it. And I said, Brother Fish, let me call you once a week and talk to you. He said, I just had to talk to you. Did you ever look up? Your wife's taken like that, and you see other wives that are at home, and you say, that's not fair to me. Some workers did. Did you ever think you'd gotten a bad deal? Some workers did. 6 o'clock one morning, a fellow came out in the field and said, I need somebody to work. Said, I'll give you so and so much money. Called a denarius. I'll give you so much money if you'll come to work for me. They said, we'll do it. 6 o'clock in the morning. They went out and worked till 6 o'clock that evening. But need some more workers. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he went out and he saw some other fellows standing around and said, hey, I need some workers. Would you come to work for me? They did. They worked from 9 to 6. Still needed some more workers. Went out and saw some fellows standing around the marketplace at noon. And he said, hey, fellas, I need to hire some more workers. You'd like to work for me? Fellows came to work and worked from 12 noon to 6 o'clock. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he went out and he found some more. He said, fellas, I still need some more workers. Would you come work for me? They went to work and worked from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 6 o'clock at night. Bear in mind, some worked 12 hours, some worked 9 hours. Some worked 6 hours, some worked 3 hours. And at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he went out again and saw some folks hanging around the county seat. And he said, you fellows, could you come to work for 1 hour for me? And he hired those fellows to come work for an hour. 6 o'clock, he paid them all. He paid the fellows that went to work at 9 the same amount of money he paid the fellows went to work at 6. He paid the fellows went to work at noon the same amount of money he paid the fellows went to work at 9 and 6 in the morning. He paid the fellows went to work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Same amount of money he paid the folks went to work at noon, at 9, and at 6 o'clock in the morning. He paid the people that worked 1 hour from 5 till 6 in the evening. He paid those people the same amount he paid the folks that worked 12 hours. I mean, look, they only worked 1 hour. The other folks had worked 12. They had slept late. The other folks got up early.
They had worked in the cool of the day. The others worked during the heat of the day. And they got the same amount. And they said, that's not fair. What they didn't realize is they got the same pay everybody else got. Grace. Grace. Brother Charlie Hand mentioned a while ago, he used to drink a lot. Some folks would have called him a drunkard. He sold some wild oats. While he was doing that, my mama was teaching me the blessed word of God and teaching me the Bible. And I didn't sow any wild oats while he was. Shall I get upset because he's been forgiven more than I have? Shall I complain because he's going to the same heaven where I'm going? Oh, no, Buster. I mean, even if I only went to work at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and didn't get as much forgiveness as everybody else, thank God I got grace. Some of you lived a pretty rough life. You were forgiven for more than others. Shall we complain because maybe you were forgiven for more than we were? Of course not. Fellas that went to work 6 o'clock in the morning didn't deserve what they got. Fellas that went to work at 9 and 12 and 3 didn't deserve what they got. And a fellow went to work at 5 didn't deserve what they got. A fellow gets saved when he's 5 years old and served God for a whole lifetime. And a fellow gets saved on his deathbed. They're both saved with the same grace, going to the same heaven, have the same Savior, will walk the same golden streets. Let all of us just say, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. God gave them all grace. Now, did you ever look at folks who get checks every month from their family to pay the tuition? And while you go wait on their tables and say that's not fair? Did you ever live in an attic apartment where the rent's $150 a month, where you play tag with the mice all night, have cockroaches for pets? You ever drive down through one of these lovely areas of town, look at all those beautiful homes, and you realize that you'll never have one? Because you're going to be a Christian school teacher. Your husband's preparing for the same thing. And they make 25 cents an hour. Did you ever look at those homes? Let me tell you something, folks. Nothing so overrated as... Listen, I'd rather have what you've got in that little attic apartment than what they've got in that big mansion of a house. That's where your suicides are. That's where your heartbreak is. That's where your misery is. Just think. If Jesus were to come now, the rapture now, you understand, folks, that in 7 years we'd own those houses and they'd be renting from us? All things are yours, the Bible says. All things are yours. Let me just give you a few thoughts and I'll quit. Why should I doubt God's justice? He's omniscient. What does that mean? He knows everything. Don't you think he who knows everything knows what you need more than you who do not know everything? Don't you think you'd be wise not to call God unfair when he knows everything? He has all the facts. God is love. Don't you think he who is perfect love knows what you need? And don't you think he wants you to have what's best for you? Well, then don't you think he thinks that little attic apartment is best for you, that more than that beautiful home that's cost $250,000 you'd like to have someday? Did you know that 3 bathrooms in a house is not so hot? Did you? You can't use but one anyway. But God is holy. Holy. He who is holy, he knows what you need. He said, I don't understand it. Well, aren't you glad you can't understand God? Because he says, my ways are not your ways. Let me tell you something, folks. Just settle it once and for all. God's good. That's all. God's just good. I mean, he's just good. He don't make any mistakes. God never says, uh-oh. Somebody said one time, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God?
God never says, oh, I'll declare. Well, I'll swan. No. And God never says, I'll get him back. And God never said, I'll put him in a shack. No. God's good. God's holy. He's true. He's omnipotent. He can give you anything he wants to give you. He's eternal. He's unchanging. He's unchangeable. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's righteous. He's just. Do you ever drive by that beautiful lady's shop on the way to Goodwill? Did you know that probably the dress you saw in that lady's shop would be in Goodwill in a month? Because the people that buy those dresses in those lady's shop, they throw them away after a while. You can buy that same dress at Goodwill for $3 and wear it for 40 years. Well, I mean, as far as the dress is concerned, you have to change the shape a few times. God is righteous. And God is just. Now, I want to say this, and I'll be through. I'll be quite frank with you. There's some things in life I missed. I'd like to have had. I really would. If I'd been God, I'd let me have them. I preached a sermon here one time. One of the most timely sermons I've ever preached, I think. Called 9 out of 10 isn't bad. I took life and divided it into 10 parts. And I said, if you got 7 things, seven of those things in your life out of 10, you got a passing grade. But nobody has all 10. Nobody has all 10. Man, old Smith down here.
I forgot his first name also.
Ken Smith. Yeah, Ken Smith. I mean, look at him. He can't walk without a cane. He's had surgery on everything but his brain, and that's where they needed to start. And so he hadn't got good legs. But he's got something sitting beside him that loves him, and some of you guys that you're left to have. But you'll never get her. I mean, a lot of you ugly pussies out there, I bet you a quarter, you'd be glad to be crippled to get that pretty little thing. You can't get it. She loves that guy. Why? I don't know. She loves him. Yeah. 9 out of 10 isn't bad. There's some things I'd love to have had in my life that I didn't get. And I mean this when I say this. And God knows this is true. I'm human like you are and imperfect like you are and all too imperfect. But I'm sincere from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. And ever since that night when I knelt about 12:30 in the morning on a New Year's Day in the wee hours after I'd given my heart to God to preach His gospel to this very moment as I stand here tonight at 8:35, October 18, 1987, I've taken my business seriously. I really have. And God knows I love Him. I really do. And I wonder sometimes, why couldn't I have had this or this or this? And I realize at the age of 61, some those things I wish I could have had, I'll never have. But I trust Him. He's omniscient. He's love. He's holy.